This is the Team Builders Podcast, building better teams.
Teamwork is about friendship, it's about strength in numbers, and it's about somebody having your back. And I think when you're in a team, it just gives you an extra boost, that confidence, knowing that you've got all that there.
This is the Team Builders Podcast with Stephen Haseley, Jerry Crowley, and Jonathan Haseley.
Welcome to the Team Builders Podcast. We are back and we are delighted to share our very next episode with you. I have, of course, my two wonderful co-directors, Jerry and Stephen. How are we doing today, gents? Stephen, how are you?
All great today. Jonathan, looking forward to the podcast ahead.
Jerry.
Yeah, still training, Jonathan. Did a three-miner this morning, so
tell you what, I can't believe you're still standing for this.
Yeah, you got to give me the athlete status Sunday.
Absolutely. It's coming. It's coming. Don't you worry. Well, in fact, with that in mind, Jerry, elite sport is on our horizon because the plan for today is we are going to be catching up with the wonderful Scottish women's senior curling team. They are getting ready to head out to Korea where they're going to be competing in the amazing World Senior Curling Championships 2023. We caught up with all four players, Katie, Wendy, Mary and Jackie, to learn what their insights are into sport and elite team performance in general. Thank you so much for being here, ladies. Hope you're all very well today.
Yeah. We're good.
Yeah. That's a resounding yes. How has the training been going?
It's been good. We've had we had our last game together the 31st of March, which we won in Perth.
Oh, superb, Katie. Always great to go in there with a victory. I like that. Listen, you're obviously all in your final bits of preparation as you get ready to head out to Ganyang. Can I ask you something a little bit more informal? What are you most excited about getting out there? Jackie, perhaps you could come in with that one.
I think it's just the fact that we're travelling such a long, long distance. I mean, curling's a sport that's held in Europe, and Canada's the big players in the curling world, or they were, until sports really grown over the last few years. And I think to be able to play in places like Korea, Japan, it's outstanding. So for us, it's a long trip, but we're really looking forward to it. And I think just actually playing out there in Korea will be very exciting for us.
Oh, absolutely. How long are you actually out there for?
We're going to be out there for almost 2 weeks. We have to, I mean, the competition itself is over 7-8 days, but we need to be across so as we can get over jet lag because they're 9 hours ahead of us. So we're going to be there for 2 or 3 days prior to the competition starting.
Katie, what about you? Anything special you're looking forward to?
I think just getting there, as Jackie says, just getting to Korea with a long journey. I think apart from Jackie, the other three of us all work. So I think we're just looking forward to stopping working on Friday and getting on the flight on Monday. And once we get there, just seeing the different culture as well, it'll be a totally new experience for us. And just getting stuck in and playing the games as well once the competition starts.
Absolutely. And no doubt there's been a lot of preparation and time gone into this. Mary, how long have you been perhaps preparing for these World Championships?
I guess we, at the beginning of the season, you know, we set our goal that actually we wanted to go back to another World Championships. We were in Geneva last season and finished there with a bronze medal. So our sights were kind of always been set on getting back to the Worlds and hopefully doing better than we did in Geneva. And if we can bring back a gold medal, that would be great. So we started the season with the plan and the drive that we needed to win the Scottish Championships to qualify us. But obviously, you know, until we won that Scottish Championship in February, then the real kind of prep starts and the excitement was building really from then.
I'm going to come in to Wendy. Wendy, with all of that in mind, how are the expectations high? Hoping for medals, hoping for even more success than what you've had previously?
Yes, I think expectations are realistic from us, and I think a lot of people have got high expectations of us, and I think we can hold our own definitely. So yeah, I'm going to say yes. I'm not the most positive person, but I'm going to say yes.
Rightfully so, Wendy. Well, we are all very much behind you, I assure you. Listen, we've got a range of questions to get through, and I'm obviously joined again by my wonderful co-directors, Jerry and Stephen, who I know are champing at the bit. I'm going to ask one final question before I pass it over to the boys. Whenever you meet someone for the very first time, curling is perhaps not the most out there, all over the place sport in the world. What do you tell them? How do you describe how you got into it or where you came from and why you love the sport so much?
I think that it's kind of the first question when, you know, if you tell someone you curl, they generally ask, oh, do you throw it or do you sweep or which bit do you do? And I think it's the television coverage is great during the Olympics. You know, it's all over the TV at that point, but every 4 years isn't, you know, super coverage for us. So we're glad when we can talk about curling, raise the profile. It's, you know, this is a wonderful chance to be able to speak about curling with you guys. So we appreciate that. But when someone asks you, what do you do? What is curling? Then I think it's just the explanation that we all do a little of everything. Even Jackie does a tiny bit of sweeping behind the tee. But, you know, for the first three players, you play, you throw your stones and you sweep the other stones. So Jackie's directing play. And I think it's just explaining that it is teamwork. It's a sport that obviously communication is super important. And it's just trying to, yeah, explain that and get that over to someone. And the fun that can be gained from it, I guess, as well, trying to just promote the sport and encourage people to give it a go.
Absolutely. And I love, you know, as you mentioned there about the communication being so key. And again, we see so much synergy and connection with you guys performing on such an elite level and the business and the offering that we deliver for our, you know, colleagues and clients around the world. So really exciting. Jackie, I know, in fact, that we have had the pleasure of meeting with you both in your personal life with the curling, but also in your professional life. And in fact, Stephen and yourself had were working on an event together. I think that's where it all kind of came about. Is that right?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I worked for 31 years with Shell Exploration in Aberdeen, and that's where I met Stephen at a team challenge event that Shell was holding there. And I think it was probably some of my colleagues that maybe let slip that I was an Olympic and world player. So he chased me for the rest of the competition to see how good I was doing. He was fairly putting the pressure on.
Well, Jonathan, the truth of the matter is, when we met at the Shell event, I did make my usual joke that since we were in Aberdeen, no one would have seen a trophy before. But oh no, the team rounded on me and said, well, Jackie is a world champion, so she has definitely seen a trophy before. And that was an inspiration to see her and how she motivated her team and how she really pushed them and drove them to be successful at that fun outdoor team building event. I reckon there was a few bloody noses at the end of it, but it was all worth it for Jackie and her team to walk away with another trophy. So well done.
If you're competitive, you're competitive, that's for sure, whether it's fun or in serious competition or at work. And that's something I think all four of us as athletes are. We're generally competitive people, and that's why we've got to the level of the sport that we have. And one thing I would add about our curling sport is, I mean, it's a sport for young and old. We start the kids at age 9, and I know people who are 90 and still playing the game. And I think that's a great thing for our sport. You can be competitive at various levels throughout your age. And we are playing in seniors now, which is over 50s. And again, all of us have been very successful in the ladies event between ages of 21 and maybe 45.
Yeah, wonderful. Have you actually played together as a team for a long period of time, or do you kind of move around teammates like that as such?
Yeah, we've played together for, is that 3 years that we've played together as a senior ladies team? But all of us, the four of us have played, and Edith as well, who's our fifth player, we've all played together in different combinations over the years for probably 25, 30 years. We've probably all played. Jackie and I played together 25 years ago when we went to the Olympics with Edith as well. I've played with Mary and ladies. I actually played with Wendy in juniors, so we were under 21. So, yeah, we've played together in different combinations. But this, we've played as this five for the last 3 years probably.
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic that you can play a sport that you can stay in for such a long period of time and continue to be successful. As you mentioned there, Katie, from juniors with Wendy right up to where you're playing now, that really is a special relationship, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It is really special. And I think, and as Jackie said, it's a sport for young and old and where you make lifelong friends as well, because we have had that for over the 30 odd years. We've all been curling our. And even when we didn't play on the same teams, you were always around playing in the same competitions against one another.
Who was the
rivals?
Who was winning those ones? Or do you not talk about that?
We don't talk about that.
Jackie. Stephen, I'm going to bring you back in if that's okay. And I know we've got a few pertinent questions that you'd perhaps like to put to the team here. Over to you.
Okay. Just in terms of your success in the world of sports individually and as teams, what do you think you can relate that back into your working environments and how you've helped bring that focus and that concentration and that drive from your sporting success back into the workplace. Mari, what about you? How have you found that to be over the years?
I think that playing in lots of teams and working in lots of teams, it actually sometimes, I mean, well, even in this team, we're all very different. We're all individuals, and you bring your strengths and weaknesses to the team, and you have to be able to adapt, and you have to be able to recognize that what's important to someone is important to them, and therefore you've got to be tolerant, you've got to have a bit of come and go, you've got to be able to be considerate of others. And I think those are skills that are valuable in life, whether you're working your personal life, obviously, but in work, you're going to end up coming against or having to deal with people who you wouldn't necessarily choose to spend time with, but you have to find a way to be able to recognise that their input is as valuable as yours. And obviously it's that kind of being able to compromise and recognise the strengths of others. And I think that spending a lot of time in teams out with your working life helps with that, helps you develop those skills and makes you a more rounded person. And yeah, I think it does translate into the workplace, because you have to be able to perform to your best. And every day you don't feel your best. So, you know, and there's that as well, that you've got to be able to perform when it's needed, you know, not just when you choose.
And we love that in particular, the alignment between, you know, elite sport and elite business, and the way that teams can perform across those, and all of those synergies we see a lot of. And I think that's something that we really enjoy. And in fact, that really helps me bring into the athlete in our team, Jerry, who has been, I got you hooked up, mate. I got you hooked.
Yeah, super. Welcome, everybody. Nice to see Olympians, world champions, European players. I was just thinking of some of the sports teams that we've met, and, you know, never in this environment, so to have the opportunity is great. My big question really was the role of communication within your team, because when you play for yourself, Mari alluded earlier, you know, you throw your dart, if you get it, you score, you're happy with yourself, if you're not. But in a team like curling, you often hear shouts from the ice, and as a novice person just watching, you don't know if they're shouting at the curling stone or at each other or the referee or who they're shouting at. So just wondered how you manage the communication and, I guess, feelings around that during the game.
I think I'll probably start by answering that. And I think communication in the game of curling is probably the most, apart from the fact of being able to technically play the game well, is one of the most important things in the game. And everybody within the role of their position have got a part to play. So like at the beginning, Katie and Wendy, they're our lead and our second player, and their big key role here is to time all the stones, and then they have to communicate that to Mari and myself, and then we'll be making strategy calls, and we may have to change these calls instantly halfway down the ice, and that happens because we communicate all of the time. It never stops during a game. And if you've been lucky enough to watch it in the Olympics or at Worlds, if it's been covered on TV, you'll hear that. You'll hear them shouting numbers and weights and calling. And yeah, very, very important for us in the game of. And it lasts for 2.5, nearly 3 hours, yeah, over 10 ends. Well, in seniors, we're actually only playing 8 ends. But yes, you need to be sharp all of the time.
And in, you know, we work a lot with businesses, as you know, and in business, we're often asked about behaviour. During stressful times, I know in our business too, sometimes you disregard your colleagues and make calls over the top. And then sometimes in business, it's seen as acceptable. But I don't know if that would be acceptable in the sporting, you know, discipline, or is it? Do you just go your own way?
I don't think you're ever, once you're on the ice and you're not thinking about yourself, you're operating and thinking as a team, and you know, you have to do everything you can to help your teammates and to help yourself, because we're timing stones. But actually, a technical aspect is you can give the stone a little bit of weight, or you can take a little bit off, which isn't obvious to the sweepers who are timing. So you have to be able to communicate that actually I gave it a bit, so they can step back. Or you need to be sharp, as Jackie said, and you're not thinking for yourself. Everyone's focused on getting the best result for every stone that's going down the ice. And as Jackie said, sometimes it means that you need to change your idea halfway down. The girls are telling Jackie that it's a little bit heavier than she was expecting, so she can make the adjustments. And I think, you know, obviously in times of stress, as you were saying, Jerry, people behave differently, and we're all keeping an eye on each other and to make sure that, you know, no one's getting a little bit too stressed or they're feeling a bit down on themselves. Because it's difficult if you're not performing as you would want to, then, you know, you can get a little bit internal, you can focus a little bit on yourself then, and that's not helpful. So your teammates are always there to chip in and try and bring you out of yourself. Sorry,
yeah,
Stephen.
It's that cohesion, I think, that businesses can learn a lot of, because departmental, if you just break your sport into deep departments, if they all work together and keep each other informed, that's the winning formula, I reckon.
Stephen, I think you were going to jump in there with some thoughts around what Mary had answered.
Yeah, just in terms of handling pressure, just prior to walking on the ice, what is your mindset? Is your mindset to enjoy it and have fun, or is your mindset to win? And I'll direct that through to Wendy, first of all, please.
Well, I think Jackie alluded to the fact we're all competitors, and I think, well, I speak on behalf of girls that we all want to win, first of all, and if we enjoy it, so be it. But I think winning is the priority goal for us. Would that be right, girls?
Yeah.
It's definitely much easier to enjoy it when you're winning, that's for sure.
When we played the Scottish final and we won it, I'm not sure we necessarily enjoyed it because it was a game. So I say that winning is definitely the ultimate goal.
One thing that becomes apparent as you get more successful and you start winning, the pressure gets harder every time you go away, and people's expectations of how you're going to do gets harder for you. And it's a strange one how you accept that. And I think what we have to do as a unit and as a team is know that we've got each other's backs. So as Mary said there, if somebody's feeling the pressure, then we'll rely on our fellow competitor to bring us down, to keep us calm, or to bring us up if we need G'd up a little bit more during the game. But I think we're all very aware, having been successful, how important it is to be professional, stay calm, but also enjoy the moment, because that's what it is. It's just a moment, and time moves on and things change. So you've got to be able to enjoy it as well.
Absolutely. And I assume, if you don't mind, it's probably rare that all four or five players, or all four on the ice, are all performing at their absolute peak all at the exact same time. So I imagine there's quite a lot of, you know, some challenges that you must overcome in that time. And you're just trying to find the best alignment, or, you know, the most peak performance as possible. Would that be fair? How do you handle those situations? How do you try to, you know, play to the strengths of people in that moment, but equally understand that everyone is contributing regardless of what position or what stone you're throwing or at what time you're sweeping, et cetera, et cetera?
For sure. During a game, as you say, if somebody's going to have a difficult time, you've got to be open and honest with one another. And that's a big thing, again, coming back to communication and knowing each other very well. So if somebody is struggling, then we hope that they'll say. And then what we can do is we can change the ice that we're giving them, or we can make it a slightly simpler shot. We can play a different game. You can adapt the whole sport to how you as a person are feeling. Not all of the time, but some of the time that can make a difference to pull you through. You get a couple of good shots under your belt, a simple shot, then your confidence starts to grow again. And I guess it's about delegating and leading your own confidence to install that in the rest of your team as well, and let them grow with you.
Absolutely. And I think it's that bravery, isn't it, to be able to step up and say, hey, I'm not having my best moment right now, or I need some assistance, or I need, you know, some support. Having that bravery and confidence within yourselves and within your own relationship as a fantastic team really helps to be able to deliver on that. Yes, Stephen.
Jonathan, one of the things that I heard very early on in the conversation was setting your goals. And I'd like to ask Katie, do you think that setting your goals both in the sporting arena and in the work arena makes all the difference in the world when people know where they're going to over the next, I think Mari mentioned, over the next year? Do you think that's realistic about setting goals in the competitive sporting arena and goals in your work life and in your, obviously, in your home life as well?
Yeah, I think definitely. And yeah, Mari said we did set our goals. We had a plan on what competitions we were going to play in throughout the year. And the end goal was obviously to win the Scottish and go to the World Championships. And in business as well, I know recently I had my performance review at work, So it was looking over all my objectives from last year and had I achieved those objectives. And then I discussed, I've recently got a new boss, so sitting down with him and discussing what my objectives and my goals would be for the coming year as well. So it is something I've always been used to. And I know throughout the time we've all been curling, we've probably all set short-term goals, longer-term goals as well. And in work, it's something I've always done. I've always done too. So I think it is important. So you've got a clear plan and you know in your head what you've got to do to achieve those goals.
I'm going to jump in here. I've broken protocol because I've got a question perhaps for Wendy out of left field, Wendy. I know the people will be keen on this question here. Are you ready? How do you create that team feeling outside of training?
We do. We have a little WhatsApp group.
Yes.
We share funny stories. We share important things. And yeah, there's a lot of chat that goes on that way. Just keeping in touch with what everybody's doing, how everyone's feeling. So yes, I would say we try to keep the feeling of the team going at that point.
And you reckon that makes you a better team?
I think it does. Communication. During lockdown, when I was separated from my team at work, I think that's the hardest thing is when you're working remotely, you have to find ways to keep in touch to know what everybody's doing. So that was lockdown helped with that, probably, the whole keeping in touch thing.
Yeah, we strongly agree. Yeah, it's engagement is the key for definitely.
I think for seeing somebody, the whites of somebody's eyes and seeing how they are, but you can keep in touch remotely just by the chat and the banter.
So one thing I've always wondered, if you don't mind, does anybody have anything that makes them feel particularly lucky or particularly excited about whenever they get ready to step out on the ice and deliver the magic?
I think we've got a couple of things. I know for me, I don't know why, it started years ago, I always put my left curling shoe on first and then my right curling shoe. And I think it would just feel too wrong if I actually went to put my right shoe on first. So that's one of my little superstitions or idiosyncrasies or whatever you want to call it.
I like that. Do you think that you did it one time and you were victorious and then thought, try that again? Or is it just something that's grown over the years?
I've maybe always done it, but yeah, I think it's just something that's grown over the years.
I think I probably have a couple of things. I definitely like to be in the same position in the changing room. So when I go in and I decide where I'm going to get changed, then that's where I'll be for the rest of the week. And if someone else happens to have got there before me, they will find me very much on top of them. You know, I've seen off a few fellow competitors by just a bit of the shoulder moving over to get changed where I want to. So yeah, I do like that. And if we're say wearing navy and my navy top, we've had a good game, then the navy top will go back on for the next navy game. You know, I would keep a winning top until it was unsociable to wear it anymore.
I got you. Yeah, you're very politely saying you don't use the washing machines when you're away. I like that. Maybe that's why people keep moving away from me in the changing rooms as well. It's a good technique.
I like that.
I like that. Wendy, anything special or Jackie perhaps?
I'm not aware of anything special. I have a thing that if I drop my gloves, you're not supposed to pick them up yourself. That was something that a former teammate, Debbie Knox, who's a well-known curler, taught me. But I'm not aware of any particular rituals or habits.
So we always have to bend down and pick up our glove.
I bet Wendy makes the most of it. Oh, I've dropped my glove again. Katie, get down there. Come on, sort that out.
And am I going to embarrass myself here? I like to use the same toilet in the change. So much like Mary, if someone, then I'm going to have to wait till they come out. But I try not to have any, because, and I've worked with psychologists over my Olympic and world years. And I think that was one of the things they taught us, because if something does unexceptional come in and change that dynamic for you, does it then affect you mentally? So I try not to have any, but it's very difficult. That's a difficult thing not to do, because you get into a little routine and you want to do the same routine all the time.
And there's a difference between being superstitious and being weird, and you're on the borderline with the same toilet. Good one. I know, ladies, that we are very close to the end of our time for today, and we're very appreciative of how generous you've been with your time. I had just one more question, if that's okay, if you don't mind. It maybe seems a bit of a out there one, but whenever you think about all that you have been through in your sporting careers, playing with each other, playing with other players around the world, and also when you link that back to your very successful business lives, What does the word team, or what does teamwork really mean to you? If you were to drill it down, what one thing do you visualise or think about whenever we say the word team?
I would say, for me, it's working together with a common aim, a common goal, but also along the way making it enjoyable. Because you don't set out to be miserable. We're very fortunate that the four of us get on so well together. We get on well on the ice, we get on well off the ice, and we have a laugh and enjoy each other's company as well. So I would say it is just working together with a common aim.
I think knowing that someone has your back, you know, you're not there on your own. It's not all on you. If you do your bit and everyone else does their bit, then, you know, you're stronger together than you are on your own. I think, you know, a solo sport like a golfer or a tennis player, they've got all that pressure on their own shoulders, where we've got the benefit of being able to share that and know that if I don't make my shots, that the girls will sweep their hearts out to make them work. Or it's just someone else having your back, I think, is a great feeling. And knowing that you can support someone when they're maybe down, I think it's great to be in a team. And to be in a great team is even better. So I think, yeah, as Katie says, we're really lucky.
I would reiterate that. I think it's teamwork. It's about friendship. It's about strength in numbers. And it's about somebody having your back. And I think when you're in a team, that can really build across the whole of your staff or your teammates. It just gives you an extra boost, that confidence, knowing that you've got all that there.
Amazing. Thank you so much, everybody. We really appreciate that. Some wonderful answers there, and a lot that rings true to the working lives that we, myself, Stephen and Jerry, find ourselves in too. So we recognise a lot of that. We see a lot of that in successful business teams, and we love that those things you know, transfer through and align with what we see in enormously elite and successful sporting teams. So thank you so much for that. Thank you all so much for your time today. I'm sure Jerry and Stephen will join me in congratulating and thanking you for your time, and wishing you all the very best of luck.
Yes, good luck.
Yeah. Bring back the gold. That's what you're here for.
Thanks very much.
And stay present. Enjoy the moment. Stay present.
Absolutely. Enjoy every moment.
Gents, absolutely fantastic to catch up with the team there. We wish them all the very best as they head on their way to Korea.
Great to have the opportunity. I tell you, we met some great business people in my day, talking to them about business and also about their careers. But to have the opportunity to speak to a group of four top athletes off to the World Championships.
As you know, we love sport and it's power to inspire. And we're all about building better teams. There could be no better example than Scottish women's senior curling team for life, for business, and in sport. We wish them every success.
Superb, Stephen. Thank you for that. That is it for this episode, folks. If you do like what you heard, please be sure to check us out on our website. You can check it there at www.teamchallenge-company.co.uk for more podcasts. There's more coming in the series. We'll look forward to catch you all again soon. Thank you very much, and goodbye.